And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Overreaction Thursday. Pavel Dorofeev's winning the Rocket Richard Trophy. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, and Chris Meany. Week 1 mailbag edition. What's going on, Jake? How are you, bud?
Penguins are making the playoffs. I got some overreactions for you, Nick. They did look frisky, though, against the Rangers. They are my number one frisky team so far through one game. But yes, my guy Dorofeev, I love it. We've already mentioned him once on the pod, maybe a couple more times before it's all over. Love to see that start from him on Wednesday night.
Lots ahead on today's podcast. Massive extensions, hot starts, mailbag questions, on the money, brought to you by Bet365. But guys, we got to start with the biggest news of the week. I know I've been on this crazy campaign train. Connor McDavid, well, he's not going anywhere. Maybe he found out they were getting Jack Roslovic, Jake.
I did like your tweet, though, extending your McDavid countdown, because you had your previous countdown. Now you just extended it 2 more years. So it doesn't mean the countdown's over. Just means we got to wait a little bit longer till he's wearing that Maple Leafs jersey. But this was crazy. Meany, I want to get your opinion on this. I mean, obviously, we know it's a hometown discount. This is beyond a hometown discount. If McDavid signed for 15, 16, heck, even 16 and a half, maybe 17, I'd be saying that's a discount. 12 and a half. I don't know. This is as big as a discount as I think I've seen in pro sports, really. It's incredible what he took.
Absolutely, because we all know if he hit free agency, there'd be 31 teams saying, here, it's a blank check, 20 plus. I mean, wouldn't surprise me at all. But yeah, no, it's good news for the Oilers, let's be honest, right? I mean, they were probably sweating over the past couple of months, and it does free up some things that they could potentially do, like maybe look for a goaltender, Nick.
Oh, man, I debated coming on here and just venting about Stuart Skinner, but I'm way past that conversation. I will say this is one of the most selfless acts I've ever seen from Connor McDavid. We do have a mailbag question. I did reference late Wednesday night. Jack Roslovic, you know what? I'm not skating anymore. I'm going to join the Edmonton Oilers. So a mailbag question about the deployment of Roslovic. Jake, where do you see Roslovic fitting in Edmonton?
Well, I'm already seeing him getting scooped up in a couple of my leagues, so I think people are wise to it. And I mean, they didn't sign him for nothing, right? Right, Meany? Like, this is a guy that if he's going to play, he's probably going to play in some sort of an offensive role. I'm not saying he's going right up on the top line with the big boys, but at worst, I'd say third line, and probably somewhere on the second line, maybe squeezes some power play. It might be tough to crack that first power play, but Roslovic's a guy that's shown skill in the past. I was a little surprised that it took this long for him to get signed, and now he ends up on Edmonton. I got to have at least a little bit of interest in a deep league right now.
Yeah, he's got a lot of skill, and he can rip the puck. I know he didn't get a lot of power play time with the Carolina Hurricanes, but his 5-on-5 play was good, and at times he was given an opportunity to play with the big boys like Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis, so I'm sure there'll be a rotation again. Andrew Mangiapane scored a goal. I believe we talked about him in the sleeper episode, so he's a guy that can rotate in the top six. And last night, Trent Frederick, you know, just kind of looked out of place, to be honest, playing with Draisaitl and McDavid. Not a ton of speed there, but yeah, somebody to keep an eye on, and certainly Nick in the betting market. When we see him inside the top six, you know, he's going to be plus money for a couple shots and a goal for sure.
Oh, trust me, it's going to be square peg, round hole. They're going to try to put him in the top six. I think the last thing they want to do is put Frederick with McDavid and Draisaitl. And I think this gives them options to maybe have one of those guys with a Roslovic on the line. Don't forget, a guy like Zach Hyman's going to come back at some point in time in the month of November. Jake, the Savoy, Ike Howard, any of those guys, like, you know, interest you at all here?
Nick, how often have we played this game with Edmonton, right? It just feels like year after year after year, it's a recycling process of names. Now, when a guy like Hyman's there, of course, we have interest. He sticks. He's shown he's got elite point-producing potential. But these other guys, I mean, look, if you're looking for a streamer for a week, Edmonton's got 4 games or something like that, you pick up one of these guys, I don't think you can hang your hat on it all season. But I do think Roslovic, out of that group of names, has at least shown us something where, okay, I'd be willing to take a flyer on him in a 14, 16 team league and kind of see where it goes.
By the way, just a measly 2 assists for Connor McDavid in the season opener and a shootout loss to the rival Calgary Flames. Jack Eichel's like, you know what? I'm getting my extension and I'm going to make it rain offensively, albeit another shootout loss. 1 goal, 3 assists means for Eichel. 8 times 13.5, good on him. We've talked a lot about the Marner and Barbashev line, but I did want to ask you about Pavel Dorofeev. I know Jake's been shouting that name all summer long. He is probably going to have a massive season, isn't he?
Yeah, he's our guy. We've talked a lot about him over the past year or so. His release is absolutely amazing. It's probably one of the best-kept secrets in the NHL. He led the Golden Knights last year in goals. The biggest question I had, is he going to get top time on the power play? And we saw that. He actually was given an opportunity to be on that first unit, and he filled the net. And Eichel is on his way to being in the MVP and Art Ross conversation. It's not a hot take after one game, but him and Marner, that duo is going to be electric all year. They got the Sharks here tonight, so the Vegas Golden Knights are going to fill the net all season long, and I think Eichel's underpaid as well. I mean, yeah. It's more than McDavid, but this is a guy that I think is an elite two-way center in the league and deserves a lot of dough, and it's going to be a fun year for him and Marner.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, that team, we knew looking at it on paper, that top six had potential to be loaded. I know it's only one game, but they showed that offensive potential. And it was maybe it's a surprisingly high-scoring game between those two teams. You had the Kings on a second half of a back-to-back, but it turned out being a really fun game. Certainly fun if you have Vegas players in fantasy and you're stacking them, but Eichel looks like he's in for a monster season. You just add another dynamic player like Marner in there. We already liked Pavel Dorofeev, like Meany mentioned. Now you just have more skilled players for him to play with. So maybe there's a guy in there that takes a hit. I'm curious what happens with Tomas Hertl. Like, is there enough mouths to feed right now?
Right.
But you gotta say that offense was clicking in night one.
It was a lot of mailbag questions for Dorofeev, and rightfully so. What a hot start for him with the Hattie. You're right about Hertl, even Mark Stone. Like, there's a lot of weapons on that roster. Even watching that game, like Shea Theodore, I know it was all over that name all summer, but there's just so much wealth to go around there with Vegas. And I always say there's one puck. So where do you go from here? But a tough start for them, losing via the shootout. They got San Jose coming up on Thursday. Looking forward to that one. This one surprised me a bit, boys. Kyle Connor gets an extension here with the Winnipeg Jets. I just wonder, from a fantasy standpoint, what this means or what it'll mean for the team moving forward. You see that top line with Scheifele and Vilardi. I have no hesitation about those guys. But after them, Jake, what do they have? And most importantly, Jonathan Toews. What to expect from Toews in his return to the NHL? Like, do you see a pathway where he's relevant again? Because I'm not sure I do.
Well, it's unfortunate. Obviously, the Connor signing is good news for the Jets. Good news for Jets fans. You get an elite goal scorer locked up. But they've been given some bad news to start the season. Obviously, Jonathan Toews not 100%. We're already skeptical on what he's going to look like when he finally gets out there. And Cole Perfetti was a big one, right, Meany? I mean, this was a guy we were kind of pumping in the offseason and thinking, okay, could he be in for a big season? Now, he still could be. It's not like it's a season-ending injury. I think you stash him and you hope that he comes back. But I think Nick's right. That lineup is looking a little bit thin in that middle six right now without Ehlers and some of those guys out of the lineup. So somebody's going to have to step up, and that central division is going to be very, very competitive this year.
I have some concerns, but I have had concerns with this Jets team over the past couple years. But then you lose a guy like Ehlers in the offseason, and then you have Cole Perfetti, as you guys alluded to, who's considered week to week. And Toews hasn't played an NHL game in a long time, and he's asked to be their second line center. It's a lot. So, you know, Connor Hellebuck's going to have to be amazing all year long for this team to, I think, make the playoffs. Like, forget winning the division, make the playoffs. So I do have some concerns. And there was a question, Nick, that I saw for some people, like early, and it's early, we don't need to overreact, but I think a couple guys that we talked about, me in particular, Elias Lindholm and Morgan Geeky playing with David Pastrnak last night. Great call by you, Nick, to be on the Bruins' dogs. That trio was amazing last year, and Lindholm was essentially a point per game player down the stretch of the season. 2 points last night, Geeky 2 points, passes scored. Man, the usage rate's high with that trio as well. Pick them up. Lindholm's 25% owned in Yahoo.
We love those hot starts and the Bruins team. Even Justin Brazeau. I know one was an empty netter, but the Pittsburgh Penguins live dogs, the Mike Sullivan debut, and they're like, no thank you. Although we're going to run that back on Saturday, and to tease on the money, I am playing the Rangers again on the road in Pittsburgh coming up. But you're so right. I mean, a lot of questions about who to pick up. I love, you know, overreaction Thursday is perfect. We've seen 7 games so far here in the 25-26 regular season. And several people have asked us about Darcy Kuemper, Jake. And in general, the Los Angeles Kings, do they concern you? It's a tough start to the season for them. Big win against Vegas, but their schedule early on is very difficult.
It's difficult. That's why I'm not concerned about a team that was so consistent, especially on home ice all of last season. I mean, you get blitzed by the Avs. The Avs looked unbelievable in that game. Yeah. I don't think LA had much of a shot. Then you got to play Vegas on the back-to-back. So I want to give them a couple weeks before we really say, okay, is this team maybe on the decline? Just because, meaning they've shown us so much consistency over the years that I think they at least deserve that little bit of credit. And we got a mailbag question, means actually relating to the LA Kings. I think it's a pretty good one. who will have a better season between these two young players, Quinton Byfield of the LA Kings or Leo Carlson of the Anaheim Ducks? I know my answer, but who are you feeling, Byfield or Leo Carlson?
I think Byfield is a little safer. We've seen it for a couple of years, and I think we're just waiting for Leo Carlson. But I do believe that the Ducks are going to be an exciting squad. I'm looking forward to seeing them tonight against the Seattle Kraken. I mean, you got Leo Carlson on that top line with Chris Kreider and Troy Terry. You have a veteran presence in Mikael Granlund playing with another young buck and Cutter Gauthier. We all like Jackson Lacombe on the back end. So I think I'll lean with Byfield. But as for the Kings, I'm concerned. That defense does not look great. I mean, Joel Edmundston, Cody Ceci, like these are quick players on the blue line, and they're going to get a lot of good teams like the Golden Knights, like the Avs, like the Stars. So I have concerns, and I think, Nick, we can pick on them in the betting market.
Oh, it means they're old. I mean, just be blunt about it. Joel Edmundston, Drew Doughty, he's like 4,000 years old. Ken Holland at the helm there. But yeah, there's reason to be concerned with the LA Kings. Having said that, to answer that question, I'm going to go with Quinton Byfield. I still think with Leo Carlson, there's going to be some turbulence early on in his career. I think Anaheim in general, a lot of people have pegged that team to take that next step this year. But again, one puck, I think you look at LA, they want to run everything, I think, through Byfield and Kempe, especially with Andrei Kopitar retiring this season. So it's an easy answer for me to Jake.
It's a round of Byfields. I'm in on it as well. I just think he's going to be used in a more offensive role. As much as I really like Leo Carlson, I think the Ducks are going to ask him to play that two-way game and maybe free up the offense for some of the other guys on the wing. Whereas Byfield, just watched him through a couple games. I believe it's 7 shots on goal through 2 games. He's firing it a little bit more than he used to as well. So I got to be in on Byfield out of the two. Nick, are you buying any of these upset teams? I know it's only one game, but Boston, Pittsburgh, is this just like, okay, teams come out, play a good road game, or is there maybe something to this that we can back moving forward?
Great question. Boston, I identified them as a team the other day where I'm going to be backing them on the betting market. That will continue. I think they're a sleeper team. We talked about Jeremy Swayman, what he had 35 saves in the opener. There's a reason why the Boston Bruins paid that guy. He is one of the best goalies, pound for pound, in my opinion, in this league. I think he has a bounce back season. In fact, that preseason money on him to win the Vezina Trophy. I mean, it's a big call. It's a big shout, but I think he's fully capable of that. They got their two guys, their horses back on the back end. They got Pastrnak, who I thought looked great in the opener. So it would be an easy answer for me. I mean, when you look at Pittsburgh, it's a good start. It's expected. You have Crosby. Malkin looks rejuvenated, but it's way too early to make that proclamation.
Yeah, I think so. I was impressed with some of the young kids in Pittsburgh. Shilov's had a great start, of course, with the shutout. The Rangers, to me, guys, it's like, I know it's just one game, but, you know, Jake, when I joined you and Boomer on the show, I talked about their 5-5 numbers last year. They weren't great, and they didn't show me anything in that game against the Penguins, especially being down in the third on home ice, home opener, new guy behind the bench, Mike Sullivan. There was no urgency, and they didn't really create a whole lot offensively, so I do have some concerns about them. Guys, there's one question I saw from Pete sent us in the chat about Patrick Laine, about dropping him. Immediately. If that's you and you're listening, cut him. Get him off the roster. He's actually the second most dropped player today in Yahoo, Trent Frederick being number one. But Laine on the fourth line, he's on the second unit. His 5-5 game is not great. So guys that we talked about, Lindholm, 25% own. Evander Kane, heck, 36% own. How about Frank Nazar, Jake? Goal and assist. Ooh. He had 8 speed bursts, 20-plus miles an hour. He checked some boxes for me in the opener for the Blackhawks.
I thought he was going to run away with the Art Ross that opening game. I'm like, Nazar, 2 points. Here we go. Now, guys have since caught him at that point, but it is fun. Look, Chicago needs something else other than Connor Bedard. I know Bedard was held off the score sheet in that game, but, Nick, I actually thought he looked pretty good visually. Hits the post. I thought, I hope that post isn't a bad omen for Bedard after a rough season last year. I think he finished with 2 shots on goal, so no points. But I thought visually he was good, and that's a tough matchup in Florida. I think it's going to get better for Bedard, maybe starting on Thursday night.
Look, I just want to tackle the Laine file quickly. Contract year. I would give anything to take one lap in the NHL, no bucket in warmups. Like, this guy just acts like he's playing beer league. It is insanity to me. It's Stuart Skinner, the player version. Like, the motivation's not there. He's on the fourth line. I couldn't agree more. I was lukewarm on Laine in a contract year, but after that first game and he's on the fourth line, and they're dying for somebody to step up with that team, Jake.
I did see him slash a guy, so at least he did something. I don't know if he got ozone slash. So I don't know if you have that category in your league. Maybe Laine should hang on to him for a little bit longer. But no, I mean, he's like a fourth liner now. We know he really struggles even strength. a power play specialist, but I don't even know if there's room for him on that power play at this point. And I think Marty St. Louis is going to try out some new things, right? He's going to mix, you know, Demidov might not even be on the first unit. It's going to be interesting to follow what Montreal is doing with all these players early in the season here.
Yeah, his days are numbered. He's not part of the future. It was a pickup for them. They ended up getting a second round pick as well. So it was a nice buy low. But no, I could see him in the press box numerous times here. So yeah, I would cut him. And there's some players that have been dropped, like Michelli's been dropped. One of the top, I thought he was okay. You know, they put Domi on that top line for a bit. Michelli picks up a point. He's still going to have exposure to Austin Matthews. So that's somebody to keep in mind. I know Gabriel Landeskog had a quiet first game too, but you guys talked about it, Nick. The Avs look awesome. Like Natchez with a couple goals, they're top six with Brock Nelson and Nichushkin and Lehkonen. There's a lot to offer. So let's be patient on Gabriel Landeskog. That was his first regular season game since like 2021.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And it's a very giant sack of mailbag questions today. So much so we need to take a break. More coming here on NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Hi, everyone. Julie Stewart-Binks here, along with former NHLer Nate Thompson. Join us on Energy Line as we share our takes, stories, and surprise guests every week.
Patrick Kane, 3-time Stanley Cup champion.
Team USA head coach Mike Sullivan.
6-time Stanley Cup champion Mark Messier.
With over 800 NHL games, I know a couple guys.
Biz didn't have Twitter. No one knew who he was, so I called Witt, and I'm like, how is Biz? He was like, I'm telling you right now, you're going to hate him. Then he'll be your best friend.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Face Off Inside the NHL returns, taking you deeper behind the scenes than ever before. See it all from the star-studded Four Nations Face Off tournament.
Us against the world, boys.
To the adrenaline of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I'm scared of you guys.
With candid interviews and backstage access, experience the sacrifice, the rivalries, and the determination that define NHL greatness.
Just when I thought last year couldn't be topped, here we are.
A new season of Face Off Inside the NHL. Watch now only on Prime Video.
Tune into 100% Hockey, the podcast that connects with general managers, coaches, players, and more. 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Conversations for you. If you aren't listening, you're missing out.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany with you. Don't forget to check out the latest edition of At the Rink with Rosen and Rourke, covering the entire first week of the NHL. And Jake, it's Overreaction Thursday. Where do you want to overreact now?
Ooh, I'm ready to do plenty of overreacting. I mean, it's not Dorofeev for the Rocket, because I already felt very strongly about him. But I think my main overreaction might actually be the Pittsburgh Penguins, because okay. I just had this sneaky feeling going into the season. Look, I'm not going to call them to make the playoffs. I don't want that clip out there right now. But I just had this feeling with these veterans still in this room, this team could get picked apart as the season goes on, and I think that would be a good thing for Pittsburgh. But right now, they've got some veterans, some proud veterans in that room. Malkin, Crosby, Letang. I know these guys are older, but just watching them in that game against the New York Rangers, I thought they were committed to defense, pretty solid. Maybe they're not going to get that from Shelovs every game, but I was pretty impressed by what the Penguins did in that game.
Means the Canucks haven't even played a game, and I saw multiple media members in that market asking if they traded the wrong goalie. I know Shelovs is great, 25 save shutout, came out of nowhere to start ahead of Tristan Jarry in the opener.
Yeah, I mean, he was good, and I thought it was a little surprising, but there's a new coaching regime in Pittsburgh. They don't owe anything to Tristan Jarry, so for Shelovs to get that opening start and to play good, this is his net. I mean, if you're in a league with saves, you got to pick him up. The Pittsburgh Penguins are going to give up a lot of rubber this year. I mean, sometimes the ratios will hurt you, but other times he'll have a performance like that, and the Penguins can score. I mean, last year, offense wasn't their problem. They got a lot of offense from Crosby and Rickard Rakell, and they got some kids in there as well. So yeah, we could overreact on maybe him being in the Calder conversation or Vezina conversation, but certainly somebody to add if you're hurting in goal already, Jake.
Nick, speaking of goaltenders, one of your favorite topics, the Edmonton Oilers goaltending situation. We got a mailbag question already. We're one game in and we're already talking about the Oilers goaltending. Surprise, surprise. But does Calvin Pickard have a chance to be the starter for the Edmonton Oilers at some point? Or maybe you want to go off the board. It's not even going to be Skinner or Pickard. Could it be somebody else that we're not even talking about right now in Edmonton at some point?
Yeah, his name's Carey Price. He's a free agent after this. Jake, I'm so done with Edmonton, okay? McDavid could sign for $5 million a season. If they can't get a guy, like, that was a beer league goal that tied the game for the Calgary Flames, and he cost them 1 point in that game. Like, it's just insanity. To answer the question, yes, I mean, for all this noise they made in that market about Stuart Skinner having the offseason of his life along with everybody else in the NHL, that is a very dreadful start to the season where you blow a lead against your division rival and you surrender a goal like that in the third period off cross-communication. Even Evan Bouchard, like, you got to clean this stuff up. I know in the past Edmonton has had very, very tough starts to seasons, and that looks like it's going to continue, but I have zero faith means in Stuart Skinner. I'll just be honest. I don't know who the guy is. Maybe it's Ingram in the American Hockey League, but my answer is not Stuart Skinner long term.
It could be Connor Ingram. We may get a look at him. I mean, if you're the Oilers, why not? Especially if Stuart Skinner is playing like this again. So he's outside of our top 200. I know we had a lot of pushback when he's not even in our top 25 goalies. Like he just isn't. So he's a streaming option. When you see the Oilers in a really good spot, you can pick him up and hope for the W. But there's inconsistencies in his game, and there has been for years. So it's just not somebody that I want to hold on to in fantasy, Jake.
One other guy, you brought this player up a lot, Meany, that again, we've only got one game to kind of look at him, but Sam Rinzell out in Chicago. We got a couple mailbag questions about young defensemen. Which of that group of young defensemen do we really want to hit on, right? Zeev Bolyom, Zane Parekh would be in that mix as well. Look, Rinzell didn't really factor in, you know, maybe the total shots on goal were there, but I felt like he had a lot of shot attempts in that game. Means he was firing, and I think that's something to look at moving forward.
Yeah, him and Nazar, they had six attempts each, which led the Chicago Blackhawks, and now only one was on net, but I thought the biggest takeaway for me is the usage rate. Like, this guy will actually finish inside the top 10 in the NHL in minutes. He was, I think it was 4.2 miles in his first game over at NHL Edge Stats. That's quite a bit for a guy who's only played 10 games in the NHL. So he had the top power play, and you know, they're top heavy. It's going to be him and Bedard with a lot of ice time. So I would hang on to him. I've seen Zane Parekh is one of the most dropped. Of course, he wasn't in the lineup. So if you're in a keeper league or dynasty league, you'd be patient with him. But Rinzell, Zeev Bolyom, Matthew Schaefer, these are guys I want to have exposure to you know, throughout the whole year. And I'll be patient with all of them, Nick.
Yeah, the one thing I will say about young defensemen specifically, it seems like early on in a season, coaches want to give the benefit of the doubt to the veterans, and they start playing their rooks like halfway through the first month. So yeah, that hit me a bit when I looked at Zane Parekh. I'm sure there's going to be some turbulence for Bolyom and Rinzell and others, but I would just hold the course right now. I think it's hard to find that type of depth in fantasy hockey when it comes to the blue line. Speaking of which, Jake, a really, really good start for a veteran, Morgan Rielly. One goal, one assist, the game-winning goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I still wonder, you know, what that full season looks like for Rielly coming off a disappointing 41-point campaign, but a very encouraging start for him and the Maple Leafs.
I'm glad you brought this up because I was watching that game last night and thinking, man, we didn't talk about Morgan Rielly at all going into this season. And I mean, he does have exposure, meaning to top players in Toronto. Like, I've never been nuts about Morgan Rielly, and I think the topic of conversation in Toronto has always been they're missing that true elite puck-moving defenseman, and that's not just going to fall out of the sky. But Riley's shown at times he could be at least a decent version of that. He's not truly elite in that category, but I think from a fantasy perspective, maybe something to take advantage of. It felt like he was always in shooting opportunities watching that game on Wednesday night, set up by Nylander a few times. So maybe a little bit of a sleeper in this early part of the season.
Yeah, in a couple of years, he's not 2-3 years removed from being a top 20 asset on the blue line in fantasy, right? He lost his power play opportunity last year, but he's been given that opportunity back this year. He shed some weight. He looked a lot quicker to me. I thought he was moving up and down the ice. I mean, he had five shots, a goal and an assist. He had two blocks. He threw his body around. So I think he's a pretty good pickup if he's hanging around and, you know, maybe potentially a buy low candidate. On the other side of that game, because I see Demidov dropped as well. Like, guys, we're one game in, right? I mean, this is the Calder favorite. I thought he did some good things last night. I thought Slavkovsky did some good things last night as well. Eight shot attempts and six shots. So I just want to preach patience. I know we're talking about overreactions here, but there's a long season ahead, so let's be patient with some of these guys.
I would just say how great it was to have regular season hockey back after that long and long and grueling preseason. Meantime, obviously the team to beat right now in the NHL, even in the Atlantic Division, is the Florida Panthers. This mailbag question, guys, comes from, well, me, an Anton Lindell fantasy owner. Oh. One game, I'm ready to cut bait on this guy, man. I want to believe in Lundell, but he is just so defensive-minded. And I thought initially he would take Barkov's spot in the lineup. That's not happening. But Jake, I'm asking you, what do I do with Anton Lindell? And a bunch of people were asking that in mailbag questions too.
I do think this depends on league size. If you're in a deep league, I still think Lundell has quite a bit of value. And I hear exactly what you're saying about the defensive side of the game. I kind of referenced it earlier with Leo Carlson, right? That you've got all these defensive responsibilities, going to hurt that offensive production a little bit. So I could see that with Lundell, but I still just think he's a talented player. He's going to get his shots off. You know, it's one game. I mean, we looked at some of the guys that were producing. It was kind of a depth game for the Florida Panthers. I think Lindell's going to have his fair share of offensive games moving forward. So deep league I'm in, you know, 12-team league, maybe I'm a little bit fringe on a guy like Lindell.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, not everybody plays with face-off wins. I know Nick was a little furious that there's blocks in his league. Oh. So, if you play in face-off leagues, I mean, 14, double-digit face-off wins, he could throw his body around. He's still inside the top six. Looked like he was playing with Sam Reinhart for the most part at 5-5. He's getting power play opportunity. It seems like the mailbag questions, we have a lot of Elias Lindholm. Would you take Lindholm over Lindell? For me, yes. I would just... You got a center, number one center, playing with a guy in David Pastrnak, who's an elite scorer, so I'd go that way as well. I saw another question, and this is a rookie one, I suppose. Jimmy Snuggerud, 22% ownership. Ryan Leonard, sub 20%. And, well, you got Cutter Gauthier, who's a rookie last year, at 33%. Do you have a preference, Nick, between those guys, Cutter Gauthier, Ryan Leonard, or Jimmy Snuggerud?
I would probably go Jimmy Snuggerud. I like that attachment in the top line. Always curious with St. Louis because they spread the wealth. But the other two guys, there's going to be some turbulence with all three guys. But I just, because of the deployment, because of where he is in the lineup right now, Jake, I would go with Snuggerud.
I'd go with Snuggerud as well. I was very high on this player. I actually kind of liked his prop for 20 plus goals, plus money going into the season. I don't know if you could still find that before the first game, but I think that's got a little bit of value going into this year. And I love him from a fantasy perspective, Meany. I just think that this, you're put in that position to succeed. Actually, one of the games I'm most excited for Thursday night, I think, is St. Louis and Minnesota. Two teams I've kind of grouped together, competing for maybe to move up in the Central Division. I think that should be a real good game to circle on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm with you on Snuggerud. And Nick, just to jump in here about that Minnesota game, I mean, Marco Rossi is another guy who his ownership is pretty low. So if you had a Patrick Laine, you had a Trent Frederick, you took a flyer at him with your last pick, this guy in Marco Rossi is centering the top line with Matt Boldy, who I expect to have 40 plus goals this year, Kaprizov, and then you have Zeke Bouyam on the back end. So there's a lot to offer for the Minnesota Wild's top power play this year.
Looking forward to seeing Minnesota in action coming up on Thursday. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary. At Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL, must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Here we go on the money, boys. I'm not going to give myself a pat on the back, but I am 4-for-5 of my picks the other day. Ooh, so a lot to live up to today. Let me start things off. So the Habs, after the loss to the Maple Leafs, now in Detroit. At plus money, give me that Montreal money line, Jake.
I like this angle, Meany, right, where you get a team that played, I know it's a back-to-back, we always talk about that in the betting landscape, where it's okay that the team that's playing that second half of back-to-back at a disadvantage. I think early in the season that they might actually have an advantage, right, having their legs underneath them a little bit. Not crazy travel going from Toronto to Detroit, so that should be no problem for a young team like Montreal. So I'm with Nick on that one. I'll look to Columbus and Nashville. We get confirmation on Thursday morning, Meany, that Jet Greaves is going to get the call. We're wondering who's going to get the call in game one for Columbus. We talked about Jet Greaves in from a fantasy landscape. That's a good sign if you maybe took a flyer on him in fantasy. I like Jet Greaves. I like Columbus at plus money against the Preds team. I'm just not buying this year.
No, it's fair, right? They didn't show us a whole lot last year. They're top heavy as well. If they're not getting offerings from Philip Forsberg or Steven Stamkos, there just wasn't any offense to be found. I am looking forward to a bounce back campaign from Roman Josi. I would take a look at his shot prop or maybe to pick up an assist. But yeah, we're all looking forward to seeing Jack Greaves. He was really, really good for Columbus in the last couple of weeks of the season. And hey, this is very telling. You got an opportunity here, kid, to take this net in Columbus. They were a high offensive power squad last year as well. I like the Ducks. I like the angle on the Habs as well. It's plus money, and I think you guys make a lot of good points in that second half of the back-to-back early on. I like Anaheim here in Seattle. The Kraken are not a team that really worries me. You get Anaheim at plus 105, and Jackson Lacombe is, I think, a defenseman that we all like here. He's plus 150 for an assist. He's got that top power play, had a really good preseason. He's fresh off that new contract. I think he's in for a big year.
I love it. A couple other things I'm looking at. The Islanders in Pittsburgh on Thursday. Sidney Crosby, point prop, anytime goal. 43 goals, 137 points in 90 career games against the Islanders. He owns them, so I'm playing that. And the Saturday card is busy as well. No games on Friday, so what to do. But on Saturday, Montreal at Chicago. Hockey Night in Canada, Connor Bedard, ATG. And as mentioned, as foreshadowed earlier on, New York Rangers at Pittsburgh, the three-way. The Ranger three-way, Jake, Mike Sullivan's return. Can't wait for that video tribute there.
I think something I'm looking at, and something I was on Wednesday night, actually, Boston Bruins unders, Meany. They do nice. Play again yeah. on Thursday. I think we're getting a pretty good line. You could even play it up to under six if you want. Maybe not as good of a line, obviously, as you're going to get. You probably get plus money with under 5.5 at this point. But I like the under six there. It's just an angle I'm going to continue to play. Now, I know we're probably not going to get Swayman in this game, which might affect things a little bit. But I just think if Boston's going to have any success, it's going to have to be a lean on defense. I don't think they're going to generate a ton of goals. And how about the Rangers and Sabres? I'm not saying it's must win second game of the season, but the Rangers need a win night for the New York Rangers. And then they get Pittsburgh again on Saturday. If they're 0-3 after that, boys, I don't know what to do with this team. So maybe we give the Rangers a look tonight.
Short leash, Mike Sullivan, no chance. He'll have the year to play this thing out. But you're right, man. If they go into Buffalo and they lose that hockey game and they don't show anything offensively, we have legitimate concerns for this squad. I mean, they looked older. They looked slow. Speaking of the Sabres, Josh Norris, I know we take the preseason with a grain of salt, yeah. but my goodness, he had 7 points playing alongside Tage Thompson in the preseason, who also had 7 points. He's plus money for a point tonight. I know against the Igor Shesterkin, but I think he's in a good spot. And I don't really love Utah against the Avs, but Utah against the Predators on Saturday, I can get behind that. I'm really looking forward to Dylan Gunther and JJ Paterka on a line. So maybe consider those two guys for a goal.
Love that, boys. I got to fly because I got to check out the latest edition of NHL Unscripted with Adnan Virk and Jason Demers. The great Chris Berman, Boomer, on the podcast, ooh, boys. Wow. Boomer. Who's the producer of that podcast?
Yeah, I missed that at the home run derby, man. Yeah. That was back.
I love it. We're all set, boys. Next podcast airing Tuesday, Canadian Thanksgiving this weekend. So Tuesday, Week 2 Waiver Wire Edition. Looking forward to that one. Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.